AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Show Ears Edition. This is Ian Berger. I'm a supervising producer at the Daily Show. Today, I'm joined by Daily Show segment director Zach Golden. Zach, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Happy to be here.
We're also joined by Daily Show contributor Jordan Klepper. Jordan, how's it going?
Hey, everybody. Glad to be here.
Earlier this week, we were downtown. It was interesting, as always. Jordan, this was another Trump trial day for you. How did this day compare to previous segment?
When we filmed on Monday, it felt like deja vu. We'd gone down to the earlier indictment hearing where Trump first appeared downtown. We didn't know what we were going to get. And frankly, we got more of the same. This was, we joked, this was the D-listers who came on out to support Donald Trump. And I fully will wear the hat of a D-lister who came out to see what was going on that day. It seemed like it was a small crowd of, numbers-wise, where people were really supportive of Donald Trump. I'm talking maybe in the 20s, low 20s. You had hundreds of media there watching the spectacle around that. And you had the people who were drawn to whatever the scene was. There was some waves of anti-Trump protesters as well. But I think we saw a lot of familiar faces. We saw some people we expected to be there. And above all, we saw people who wanted attention and realized this was the place to go get it.
I would like to point out, we even interviewed the same guy that we interviewed before, and we kind of forgot about this because we do so many. So sometimes people seem familiar and then they're not. But we actually, a guy with the scarf is someone we actually interviewed previously down outside the courthouse. So I don't know if he exists outside of that park, if he has a life outside of that. But so far, we're 2 for 2 with him.
I think people, the ecosystem around the MAGA universe is a fascinating one. And there's many podcasts that we've spoken on and can speak to about the ones that exist in rural America when we go out on the road. But the ones that happen here in New York, based around New York events, specifically based around the trial, is super hyper specific. You have a handful of Long Island folks who are Long Island Republicans who tend to wear shirts that talk about Long Island Strong. What is their shirts? Oh, the Silent Majority. They were Silent Majority shirts. We talked to one guy who makes MAGA hammocks. We've seen him multiple places, including at CPAC. You had Laura Loomer, who is a far right MAGA celebrity. Maybe that's too strong a term, but she's a personality in the far right. She saw an opportunity. Last time we were here, George Santos saw an opportunity. Marjorie Taylor Greene saw an opportunity to show up, get all the cameras on them, and make a big show of it for Donald Trump. This time, they didn't have the time or the frequent flyer miles to get here. So yeah. Laura Loomer decided to come on in, get the pictures taken, get the cameras pointed at her, and get a retweet by Donald Trump. So I think that was a big win for her. But you start to see this. You're like, okay, here are the people who see this as an opportunity. Less as an opportunity to show fealty to Donald Trump and more an opportunity to get attention for showing fealty to Donald Trump and or 10,000 more Twitter or X subscribers.
Yeah, exactly. Zach, so before the day, Trump had sent a message out about all hell breaking loose.
Trump said all hell is going to break loose. Are you going to go apeshit today?
I'm not going to go apeshit today.
Are you ready to go apeshit today?
I want to see how it plays out. But okay.
You got to slow walk the apeshit.
Right. Slow walk it.
Trump supporters are calm, peaceful protesters.
Yes.
Yes.
They would never rush into a federal building and try to disrupt proceedings.
Donald Trump would never advocate for that.
Outside of that January 6th thing.
Can you tell the audience a little bit how we prepared for that and what you expected to see off of that message?
Yeah. So, you know, I think that was sent out in a fundraising email like 3 or 4 days before the trial was set to take place. And for us, it was an immediate sort of like, you can get so used to Trump's dangerous rhetoric that you can sort of become numb to it. But when it is coalescing around like specific events, you do need to take that more seriously. So we wanted to approach this like it was going to be hell breaking loose and see if that was a reality or not a reality on the ground. So, yeah, we prepped a whole bunch of jokes. We have prepped a whole bunch of questions, sort of, and you can see some of them in the piece, like, you know, where are your pitchforks, etc. Mm-hmm. And then when we got there,
it just wasn't.
I mean, you know. And the thing that I think is most striking is, like, not only was it not, but the people that were there would never.
Right.
They would never do anything like that.
Except for the amount of people we met who were at January 6th. I think we even cut someone out. This guy had a little Santa vibe going. Jordan was like, were you at January 6th? And then he thought and thought and thought and didn't have an answer. And then he was like, I think I was home watching TV.
Yeah, like,
which is,
I mean,
not an airtight alibi.
You can admit it now. Like, they're not coming after you from a piece on our show. Like, you're not going to get indicted.
I don't know, man. These people have been caught in a lot of weird ways. I think maybe they're learning their lesson.
I mean, it is remarkable still, the disconnect between Donald Trump and his rhetoric around January 6th. And again, Donald Trump has always played in hyperbole. And a Donald Trump speech is full of every point of view known to man, which I think is a defense mechanism. He will ask you to be there. It will be wild. He will get up there on January 6th and talking about fighting like hell. He will also spew stuff about peace. He will also degrade people. He will say all the things you could possibly say, therefore giving him essentially, not a free pass, something for his folks to point to be like, he was talking about a peaceful speech. It was like Donald Trump was trying to incite a mob. And he said all of these different words. You're pointing to the words that said peace, but the actions of the day and the tone of the day pointed towards mob mentality. And yet when we go to a place like we were at Monday, people are not only divorcing themselves from the reality of what happened on January 6th, but also of like the culpability of Donald Trump and his words. And so yet again, we're in the same conversation of be there, be wild, and now hell breaking loose. Like, is he just fomenting anger and violence? And frankly, what should be clarified is they didn't show up. If that was a call to the MAGA faithful to come out and hell is breaking loose because you're so upset, like, that might be happening on internet, but in the real world, this is just a bunch of people trying to get airtime. It's not a bunch of people trying to fight for Donald Trump. Their fight is not your fight, at least in Lower Manhattan.
Certainly not Lower Manhattan.
No, certainly not there. But you never know, because he's got a bunch of days. He's kind of doing a residency at that courthouse. So, yeah, you know, maybe they're showing up in week 2 or 3.
He's working material. I get that. Let's see what sticks, what resonates, and maybe the songs are cleaner and crisper.
Is he bringing some special guests to get the ticket sales up for later on? I mean, Stormy will be there. There will be special guests. Michael Cohen. It's interesting. They haven't been showing up to the New York events, but in terms of like how that represents his, you know, support. A few days ago, we were just in Pennsylvania, and it was like as fired up and crowded as ever. And that was in rural Pennsylvania. I wonder if some of his crowd think, like, the lies about New York being a hellhole kind of impact their, the numbers showing up here. They're like, I can't go to New York. I'll get mugged.
I think there was a joke that we cut that was like, if all hell is breaking loose in New York City, how do you even know? Because it's already, like, full of carnage, right? Like, how would you even tell the difference?
Well, the irony, too, you know, the narrative is that he can't get a fair trial here, that nobody in New York likes Donald Trump. Okay, if that's your narrative, stick with it. Donald Trump, after the trial, went to Harlem, and they reposted nothing but videos from their perspective of him being beloved, people cheering. They love Trump here. The narrative's wrong. He is adored when he goes out in New York. I think, again, take the clip you want, make the narrative you want. But if you're going to push the narrative that he can't get a fair trial because nobody likes him in New York, and yet you then go to a place in New York and are bragging about how much people like you, it's like, this is... Pick a lane, you guys.
Among the many great characters we talked to, there was also a woman who had the most smoker's voice maybe in human history. I don't know if you remember who I'm talking about, Zach. She told us she made an appearance on another television show, America's Most Wanted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She also had to wouldn't grant us the interview until she finished smoking her cigarette on the park bench, which is just... You know, listen, I'm glad that she took the time she needed to mentally prepare to go off.
Is today the January 6th of April 15th?
No.
No.
What January? I was there January 6th.
Yes.
I was there.
Where were you? Inside the rotunda? Are you in the office? Were you holding a podium? Where were you?
It was breached before we even got there. Because
is that why you're here early today, just to make sure you get that first wave?
Well, I have done pretty... Go back and watch America's Most Wanted. I made a grand appearance there when somebody said we got what we deserve.
God bless, I'll set my TiVo. She had that sassy grandma vibe, or sassy aunt who's got some stories, who, like, you give a couple gin and tonics to her and hang out at the end of a party and let her go. Like, she had, and also one of those who you interview and you're like, wow, she had a lot of opinions and she just wanted to chat. And then you get back into the edit after you've relaxed and exhaled and you watch her interview and fall in love with her all over again.
Yeah, I mean, truly, we used her a bunch in the piece. In our first cut, we had twice as much stuff and it was all funny and entertaining. But at some point, you're like, we can't just lean too heavily into one person. But there was an edit, like an early cut of this piece that had even more of her gold.
Yeah, she was truly remarkable. And that's the kind of person that you hope for at every event. And you don't hope for at every Thanksgiving, you know, it's like that's the person.
I feel like she went and she finished her cigarette because she was merely like warming up her instrument before she came out to do the interview, which is her like New Yorker smoker's voice.
I think if Trump was watching, I think we got a communications director right here and there. She is the kind of person who I want, much like the menthol filter she had in her cigarette. I would like her to filter the news of the White House and deliver it to us on a daily basis if he gets that job once again.
If she was, I feel like she could run for city council somewhere and it could work.
Oh, for sure. And something she also, I don't think this made the piece either, but she said that on January 6th, she was sitting outside, like somebody brought a chair for her and she was just like sitting outside and watching. You know,
she was
the
in the
mayhem.
Smoky. She was
and,
in the smoky
and I just
section
picturing
of the
her just like sitting outside, chain smoking cigarettes, being like, "Yeah, this is what America is for."
The smoking section of the insurrection. You guys take it easy. We know your lungs aren't going to get you up this hill.
In the conversations we have with people on January 6th, they no longer make our pieces anymore because the narrative has been told over and over again. But the counter narrative of how peaceful and meditative January 6th was to the people who are talking about the violence of January 6th, like we are a few years away from it in far right circles being seen as almost like a Zen resort that you can go to. The way people talk about like, oh, I was sitting in chairs. We were watching. It was a beautiful day. Like it gets the peacefulness is through the roof right now.
It'll be in the vernacular. Like, what was it like? Were they fired up? No, it was all January 6th vibes, man. Couldn't get the crowd going. Like,
super chill. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
No. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was wonderful. All right. Hold that thought. We have to take a quick break.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more
more info now.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
In the 1980s and 90s, New York City needed a tough cop like Detective Louis Scarcella.
Putting bad guys away. There's no feeling like it in the world.
He was the guy who made sure the worst killers were brought to justice.
That's one version.
This guy is a piece of shit.
Derek Hamilton was put away for murder by Detective Scarcella.
In prison, Derek turned himself into the best jailhouse lawyer of his generation.
And the law was my girlfriend. This is my only way to freedom.
Derek and other convicted murderers
started a law firm behind bars.
We never knew we had the same cop in the case.
Scarcella.
We got to show that he's a corrupt cop.
They can go f*** themselves.
I'm Steve Fishman.
And I'm Dax Devlin Ross. And this is The Burden.
Listen to new episodes of The Burden on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And to hear episodes 1 week early and ad-free with exclusive bonus content, subscribe to True Crime Clubhouse on Apple Podcasts.
The last court appearance, we had some stars that you mentioned, like George Santos, Marjorie Taylor Greene. This time, there was Andrew Giuliani, Rudy Giuliani's son, who recently ran for governor of New York.
While there was more press than there were MAGA supporters, I did run into one January 6th B-list star, Rudy Giuliani's son.
Yeah, I was in Washington, D.C. on January 6th as well. I was with President Trump.
Sure.
I remember him talking about peacefully protesting.
Some people were talking about peaceful protests. Some people also on January 6th were talking about trial by combat.
Let's have trial by combat!
Do you know anybody who was talking about that?
Oh, you know, look, I would say that peaceful protest is the most important thing.
No trial by combat today.
First Amendment rights.
No trial by combat.
Do you guys even care what's going on inside the courtroom or no?
What was that like, Jordan, talking to Andrew?
Oh, exciting.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. You know, this is why you do it. You know, you get a chance to rub elbows with the hoi polloi and Andrew Giuliani. We saw he was going around trying to talk to media, trying to align himself with Donald Trump, supporting Donald Trump. And so it was an opportunity for us to discuss with him, one, his allegiance and whether or not he was on board with this narrative of this being a peaceful event, which, to be fair, it was a fairly peaceful event, but it being the rhetoric leading to potentially a dangerous event and comparing that to what happened on January 6th and specifically comparing that to what his father said on January 6th.
Which he weirdly forgot.
That he seemed to have forgotten.
It's weird.
It's shocking because it seemed pretty public and it was in the news. So I don't know, maybe if somebody give him a link or something.
I mean, who hasn't memory hold their father inciting a riot, right?
It's fair.
Here's a picture of your dad at Four Seasons Landscaping. Do you remember this guy? This is another picture of him with his hair dye bleeding down his temples. Is this the guy you're forgetting? Zach, how do you think Andrew felt about the interview when it was wrapping up?
So the end of the interview, which didn't air, was definitely the most bizarre part because he was just getting, like, all of his machismo bullshit energy was coming out when he realized that Jordan had got him with the trial by combat thing. And it was just so, like, just so bizarre, just, like, devolving into these weird, like, power dynamic of, okay, yeah, you're very funny, very, you know, just exactly what you would expect, like, him just completely losing it. And it ended in this very weird handshake that lasted a really long time, right, Jordan? That seemed to last like way too long.
It was one of those bro handshakes of like, you know what I'm doing with this handshake, bro? Right, bro? Right,
yeah,
bro?
A lot
right,
of bro.
Which one? I'm not, he's like a lot of bro. Even if it wasn't verbalized, it was. I felt a bro handshake in there, and I'm very uncomfortable in those situations.
Do you feel my college golf strength coming through? That's right, college golf, baby. That's what I did. I was an athlete. College golf.
It's just so interesting that he would even, you know, I always find it so interesting that the people, they have the hubris to think that, like, I'm going to talk to this guy who's, like, very well known for pointing out hypocrisy in public figures like me. But, like, no, that would, you know, that would never happen.
I'm ready. It's like he went into the interview without having any idea what we were going to talk about. Yeah. He's like, let's go. Let's do it.
It's all peacocking. That entire event is just peacocking. Everyone who shows up, Giuliani's there. He's strutting around, peacocking, trying to show off to Donald Trump. Laura Loomer is trying to do that. Even the wild guy with a huge flag, he is there peacocking. Nobody wants to talk about anything. Very few people are there just because they have what feels like an earnest gripe. It feels like an earnest opportunity for so many people. And that's what we found with Giuliani.
Yeah, no, it's interesting that he showed up because you haven't heard from him in a while. But I guess if you're that figure in New York, this is your opportunity. I don't think he'll be showing up again for a while, but here was his shot.
There was a guy emblematic of it all. And again, this is not a ton of people there, but I remember as we were leaving, a guy came in with his Trump paraphernalia and he was meeting his buddy. They had a big hug at the entrance and overheard him saying, okay, let's go out. Let's go get in there. I see a lot of cameras. Let's go talk to the people, talk to the cameras. And I was like, oh yeah, that's the mentality of all of those folks walking in. It's just like, okay, cool. Let's get there. Let's get that attention. And some people I think see that as a righteous crusade to be the mouthpiece of a movement they believe in. Okay, but I think a lot of people are just there like, here's where the cameras are. I have the hat on. I have the show. Let's dance.
It's interesting because I read something that was talking about day two about how there was really only one supporter there, which is very funny and sad. It's hard to make TV out of things not happening, so we don't automatically go and do that. But I would be very curious to talk to that one supporter and be like, what's it like? What are your plans for the day? What do you have in store for day three? But thinking about that, how do you see... I guess, like, do you see a crowd coming back to this trial? I wonder if it's, like, later on, if things are looking bad. Jordan, what do you think is going to happen?
I don't think Trump is going to get a big response here in New York City. And I think he will articulate that as this being a biased liberal town. But I also think at its core, it's bullshit. This I'm doing this for you. I'm fighting for you is a way to get a rise, a way to get people to cheer at a rally. But deep down, he's not doing it for you. This case, the farther away we get, this case is about him having sex with Stormy Daniels, him then during an election, months before, like what, a month before the election, paying for Stormy Daniels not to talk about the sex that they had. Now, that's Trump's thing. It ain't the rest of America's things. And him trying to connect that to your struggles, people who have to work 9 to 5, people would have to take time off of work. They would have to figure out what to do with their childcare to come on down and support and yell on your behalf. Like, no, the people who are doing that are people who see it as a job opportunity, not people who see it as a righteous quest. And so I think there's a faulty premise in Donald Trump trying to play heroic victim for the rest of America. And I think you see that in the numbers of the people who are attending.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like his logic, like it'll track with the most fervent supporters. But, you know, for your average, not as engaged civilian in America, like that logic just doesn't track if you know anything about the trials whatsoever.
Also, these are shows. We go to these rallies and a lot of people go to the rallies because they're fun. They wait in line for 12 hours because they want to get inside. They want to hang out with their pals and they want to cheer for Donald Trump when he comes on out. You don't get to see Donald Trump when you come to downtown New York. It's a legal proceeding. It's happened inside a building that you're going to have no access to. If you're there because you want to see Donald Trump, cheer him on, and you want the freaking show, it's almost like showing up and being like, well, no, you can't get into the arena, but they're broadcasting elements of the big game next door in a separate arena. And yeah, maybe some people want to be on the periphery there, but mostly the folks there to tailgate and party, they want a ticket to the show and there isn't a show.
Going to a stadium and watching the game on the big screen that's being played somewhere else is never a good look, in my opinion. That just seems a little desperate.
But that's not even that. It's like going to a stadium and then being like, we're going to stream this event to your phones.
Right.
And you're not even going to watch it as a community. You're going to watch it on your phone.
Let's all get updated on Twitter together.
Yeah. We haven't been to one of these in another state. I'm very curious about what it will be like in Georgia and Florida when those things are happening. I'm very curious.
I am very curious to see if it's a similar situation if we go down to Atlanta and if people are absent or if they find this as a crusade that they want to travel for.
Well, the good news is we're going to have so many opportunities, guys. This is the good news. And don't let it sink in. Don't think too much about it because you'll get depressed. But the good news is we have a lot of opportunities to make this kind of TV. Thank you, President Trump, for allegedly committing so many crimes. You've given us a lot of material and like a very busy calendar. So, I mean, think about our lives. Maybe we're the victims here.
You know what?
I think
that's a victim narrative people can rally around, Ian. Thank you.
Jordan, you should tell the audience you're doing this for them, the way Trump does. Okay.
You know, look, I'm a self-centered comedian, and even I know that's a bridge too far.
Well, I'm doing it for them and travel points, so that's also for me.
That's where I do feel like, you know, who really hurts on this is you and the lack of travel points you're getting. I think what really is suffering is the buffet bar at the Delta Priority Lounge.
Like, oh, great, the Manhattan Courthouse. I've done jury duty here. Fantastic. I went to high school 5 blocks from here. This is not exciting to me. Okay? We got to do better, Trump. Get arrested in more interesting places. Thank you.
I know. I'd love it. Yeah, come on. Get arrested in Charleston or a Hawaii arrest. I don't know. Just something to really, really give us something to
Vegas, baby.
I feel like Vegas would be very hard for him to get arrested. They'd be like, yeah, that's what we do. Right, this is right. All legal here. It's promoted.
All we do is have sex with porn stars and pay them much money.
We have advertisements for this in the airport, dude. Well, again, great job, guys. Great piece. It was a lot of fun working with you all. I'm sure we'll get to do it again. Zach, you're excited to get back out there?
Same here, yeah. All right. I'm pumped and ready to go. Let's go to Georgia.
You know, and before we go, actually, I want to give a shout-out to our podcast producer, Ashley Williams. She is leaving us for the Today Show.
Very sad.
God bless. Moving from the Daily Show to the Today Show, a little bit more present. I can respect it. I understand it. Ashley, thank you for all your hard work and having to listen to the conversations of a bunch of blowhards like us. And so we appreciate it, and we wish you well on your next endeavor.
Jordan, Zach, thank you. And thank you for listening to the Daily Show Ears Edition.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show, wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Hey, Jen.
Yeah.
When did you guys start hiring competent people? Because you know, that
it was
Ashley, who was running the podcast, has, I guess, what you would call her shit together.
Yeah.
And like laid this thing out. You know, you guys have really changed the culture from when I was there.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.